Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. A man whose intelligence we turn to each week for an understanding of what is going on in Asia and what it means for us is our guest, Gordon Chang. We have caught up with him in South Korea at a moment when there's a lot happening in this portfolio here in the United States. It's good to catch you, Gordon. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes.
Oh, thank you, Frank.
Narendra Modi is now visiting with President Trump as we speak. He is, of course, the prime minister of a country that I know you have emphasized repeatedly is a natural strategic partner for the United States. Talk a little bit about the importance of this visit as you see it, Gordon, and what we should all hope comes of it.
I think that George W. Bush's most important foreign policy legacy will not be Iraq, but will be India. He started the outreach to the subcontinent. It was successful. President Obama continued it. And I hope that President Trump does the same thing. Now, there's some irritants in the relationship. Immigration is something that has caught President Trump's eye. But these, I think, are minor in comparison with really what the big picture is. President Trump still believes that China can help on a number of issues, including North Korea. I think he's going to find out that that is indeed not the case. And when he comes to that realization, I believe that he will see India really as the answer to a number of these issues that we have with Beijing.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Beijing, Gordon. The efforts that the Chinese have been making with respect to North Korea, and I want to come back to that in a moment, have at least until the past week or so, seemingly caused President Trump to avert his gaze, shall we say, from some of the very persistent and serious problems China poses to both us and the Indians, for that matter, and others of our friends and allies in Asia. The argument I think you've made is that India is a potent counterweight to the Chinese. Talk a little bit about how seriously that ought to weigh in the course of these conversations.
Well, India has interests that are the same as ours, freedom of navigation. And although it isn't a South China Sea country, for instance, nonetheless, it has proclaimed that South China Sea freedom of transit is important to India's security. And indeed it is, because more than half of India's trade is seaborne. And so I think that we're seeing India move closer to American allies, such as Australia and especially Japan. And that really means that something that was called the Quad, which many people wanted to see in the first part of the last decade, is now actually starting to come to fruition, because you have India, Japan, the United States, and Australia working closer together. We should be working more closely than we are. Sometimes the cooperation is not what it should be, but nonetheless, we are seeing these four countries start to work together, start to coordinate policies, and we know that Modi very much believes in working with Japan and the United States, as well as Australia. So I hope that President Trump continues that, because this is a most important initiative.
I do too, Gordon. And let me ask you about one other aspect of this, which seems to me to be another place where there could be common cause made. The Indians have had a lot of very hard experiences, you know, with Sharia supremacism over many years. The Modi government is considered by some to be a sort of Hindu nationalist or entity. What is the likelihood that there may be, nonetheless, common cause made about the threat that President Trump has described as radical Islamic terrorism?
Well, Modi has been very tough on terrorists, and largely because during his time, you know, he's had problems with Pakistan. Modi started his tenure in spring of 2014 by reaching out to Pakistan, which had been sponsoring terrorism in the Indian homeland. And the Pakistanis, unfortunately, have not seemed to return the gestures. You know, but I believe that Modi is very much an ally in this. And we're going to see India speak much more forthrightly about the terrorists that come from Pakistan. And so this is going to be important. You know, it's not so much that Modi is a Hindu nationalist. It's just that he's standing up for India's rights. And so he's moving in the right directions in these issues.
We'll be following it closely, as I know you will, from the other side of the world, Gordon Chang. Let me ask you about Korea. You, of course, are the author of a very important book about the nuclear showdown North Korea takes on the world. They've also, as you have noted, engaged in murder of an American recently. Talk a little bit about Otter Warmbier and his mistreatment at the hands of the North Korean regime.
Otto Warmbier, who was then a 21-year-old University of Virginia student, took a tour to China and from there took a tour into North Korea. He was detained on January 2nd of last year for trying to tear down a propaganda poster, which he did. He's on tape as doing that. He was convicted of and said given 15 years hard labor in March of last year, and then almost immediately went into a coma in circumstances that we don't know about. He was repatriated to the United States about two Tuesdays ago, and last Monday he died. And clearly this is an issue of murder. He went in a healthy individual. He came out in a vegetative state. This is something that the United States needs to impose costs on the North Koreans, because if we don't, then not only the North Koreans, but the Iranians and others will think that they can brutalize Americans and that there'll be no cost. You know, unfortunately, over the course of decades, we have taught the North Koreans that there are no costs in moving against the United States. So we have the seizure of the Pueblo, the downing of the EC-121, 31 Americans died in 1969. You know, and again, there's been no cost for any of these. And so, you know, we've seen Americans being detained by the North Koreans, held in horrible circumstances. This dynamic, this has just got to stop.
Amen. Among other activities in North Korea that have to come to an end. Gordon, in your Forbes.com column, you've described a problem that I think is very much at the core of what is now evidently causing President Trump to rethink the idea of having China pull out our chestnuts with the North Koreans. You described it in your headlined piece, China weaponized North Korea. Will it now disarm it? Talk a little bit about the expectations with respect to China.
Well, President Trump has made China the centerpiece of his attempts to disarm North Korea. And on April 11th, he said, in a tweet, he said that if China doesn't do it, the United States will do it alone. Last Tuesday, June 20th, he said China wasn't able to help. Now, since then, China said that it stands for a complete irreversible disarmament of North Korea. But we got to remember that the Chinese armed the North Koreans in the first place. You know, last year, David Albright of the Institute for Science and International Security detailed how the North Koreans were buying semi-processed fissile material components and components for nuclear weapons. And we've seen aluminum oxide go from China into North Korea that's used to process nuclear fuel and missiles. The missile cooperation has been stunning in recent years, because the missiles that the North Koreans fired on August 24th of last year, February 12th, and May 21st of this year look like China's solid fuel JL-1 submarine launched missile. We've seen Chinese equipment carrying North Korean missiles through Kim Il-sung Square on the big military parades. And on April 15th, the last parade, we saw a very large canister carried on a Chinese transporter erector launcher. That canister looks like the one China uses for its DF-41 missile, which has a range of 8,700 miles, clearly be able to reach into the American heartland from North Korea. We need to start asking the Chinese some questions, because there's a lot of Chinese and Chinese-looking equipment that is showing up in North Korea's inventory.
Gordon, we have to leave it at that for the moment. I appreciate very much your taking time out of your travels in South Korea. Travel safe, my friend, and come back to us again soon. It's tremendously appreciated, your insights as to what is happening, especially at a moment when the South Korean leader will be following the Indian Prime Minister into Washington shortly. So we'll want to get your take on that as well in the days ahead. Thank you, Gordon. Keep up the good work, my friend. Come back to us again next week. Michael Cutler joins us. We'll talk about immigration scandals and dangers right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.